Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
Okay.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Hey, welcome back to Season 4 of Pigeonhole Hockey, a member of the Hockey Podcast Network. This is Chris, and today's co-hosts, Sam and Justin.
How's it going, hockey fans?
How are you all doing?
And you know us, we don't claim to be hockey experts, but simply overzealous hockey fans that love to play, watch, read, and talk about hockey. So how goes life, gents?
Justin, you first.
it's been great here. You know, we talked about this a few days ago now, Chris. It's been great here in Utah, and things are quickly rolling here in Utah to get a team here. I'm living the dream over here. I don't know about y'all fellas.
There's been some interesting chats in the group chat, but that's for another time. But things are good in Oregon. The spring is happening outside. The weather's been great. I just got back from a trip a little over a week ago to the Big Apple, New York City, and so things are doing pretty good.
How was New York City?
It was good. Yeah, my dad and I went to go visit my grandfather and do a little sightseeing and some other stuff. Went to a couple baseball games and went to a couple museums, ate good food. So yeah, hard to go wrong with a trip like that.
There is great food in NYC. I mean, it is.
Oh yeah.
One of my favorite things about going there. I've been there multiple times, and it's one of those cities where I kind of rag on it a lot. Fair enough. I ragged on it a lot more before I'd been there. But it really is a city with a lot to do and a lot of great food. So
yeah.
It's a hard place to knock. So kind of jealous of your most recent trip, man.
Plus, in comparison to where I'm at in Oregon, where this town shuts down at 9 p.m. because apparently everybody's old here or something. But yeah, the difference between here and then going to New York, where you can go to a bakery at 10 p.m. and get something. It's this is great. This is fantastic.
That's one of the reasons we really kind of miss big city at this point out here. We're on Vancouver Island, but we're not even in Victoria. We're 45 minutes outside Victoria. Everything closes around 7. And yeah, except for the food places where I think they stay open a bit later. But yeah, a little bit of change of pace from Copenhagen, that's for sure. But
yeah, absolutely.
But we've been talking in the group chat. A lot of change has been happening. And at least I know this is going to be the NCDC annual awards episode, but some brief discussion right now about all the changes in the USPHL Northwest Division, I guess what they want to call it.
it's hard to call it Northwest at this point, as you pointed out before we hopped on the air. The Northwest is adding some teams, one up in Washington, so right outside of Seattle. So, I don't know if the Totems, how they feel about another team kind of being in their territory, but it is what it is.
Did I miss the extra Washington team?
And they said there's another team in Bremerton. Which I thought I saw that in the announcement, but I'll check what the USPHL website says one more time. But yeah, there should be hopefully another team in Washington, and then a team in Utah, and a team in Colorado. So it's not really Northwest anymore.
No, and I'm going to their page to kind of listeners, if you want to go out there and check out the USPHL's website, but they made a lot of announcement changes. Columbia Infantry doesn't really affect us here on the West Coast. A Buffalo Stampede, that hurts me a bit. They're moving to Michigan as the Fresh Coast Freeze.
What about a coast? What coast are they?
Well, probably the Michigan shoreline. You know? Hence the freeze. Vegas, the Las Vegas Thunderbirds are rebranding to the Henderson Force and moving to Henderson, which isn't that far. It's basically Vegas. It's just extended Vegas. The Battle Creek Colonels enter the Great Lakes division. The Casper Roughnecks are relocating to Southern Utah, Enoch, Utah, which is only a couple hours away from Las Vegas. And they're in the Northwest division and the Vegas team is in the Pacific division. So math is not mathing here. The Twin City Thunder are adding a premier team. The Westchester Wolves are adding a premier team. The Mercer Chiefs are adding a premier team. Oh, you're right. The Bremerton Sockeye, under ownership of Andrew Eustace, will be adding. I totally missed Bremerton. So, okay, there's another team entering the Northwest Division. The Colorado Fighting
Elk. Actually in the Northwest, at least.
Yeah, I mean, that means four teams are up there in the Northwest, actual Northwest. And honestly, again, please, Lake Tahoe, don't come at me here. I still think Lake Tahoe would be, if they're looking for a five-team division, that would be how you divide that up. And then you add, like, Vegas or Henderson to the Mountain Division. I know I'm probably going to get some hate from both those organizations on that, but
the geography is not making sense anymore.
No. I mean, having a team come up from Enoch and drive, or even the team in Colorado, which we're about to talk about here, the Colorado Fighting Elk, they're out of Craig, Colorado, which is 18-hour direct drive up to Bellingham, another team in their division, which I did the math is a drive from Massachusetts to Florida.
That's crazy.
That's not the same division, man. I know they've got to work out kinks and stuff, and obviously those teams aren't going to be expected to play each other all year long, but maybe one road trip from those Northwest teams, and truthfully, these Southwest teams that are all considered Northwest, that, you know, they would take like one road trip a year up to this other region, because that's, I mean, yeah, it's our group chat has been hilarious so far. And so I just want to see what they're going to do with this. I mean, my guess is down the road that there's going to be a true Northwest division. And I mean, I would say this year would be adding Lake Tahoe to that division just to balance it. Again, I'd have to look at the distance for Lake Tahoe, because that could be like, you know, really bad for Lake Tahoe. I know up the Rogue Valley isn't that hard, but when you add on the fact of like maybe Bremerton, Seattle, and Bellingham, that, you know, that might be a little bit of a hike more for Lake Tahoe. So I think these teams will just end up playing more their regional opponents, so to speak, outside of maybe once a year. And then the Northwest, AKA just call it the West Division, would basically produce one actual, obviously, champion that would go off to the Nationals at the end of the year. I don't know. It's a lot happening. It's a lot to unpack for sure.
Yeah. Just some odd decisions, you know, from whether this was under the old commissioner or the new commissioner, but either way, it's something that I hope that there's more decisions to be made. Let's just put it that way.
Yeah, I'm assuming this is a temporary fix. It may not even be in full place for the new season, or just a temporary fix for this one season. And maybe those teams still can technically, again, it's really hard for me to call. I mean, I know there's teams in the Florida division that playing like the Carolinas and Georgia. So what, maybe just call it the Gulf division. I mean, there's options out there. And I'm not going to start my Midwest West, Midwest East discussion again. I'm not going there. But it's the teams down in Southern Utah, Colorado, and Vernal, with Casper moving down there, obviously. And then you add in Henderson right there. And I know for Henderson, it would still be like a 9-hour hike to get up to like a Vernal or a Colorado. So that's not an easy hike either for them, because obviously it's only like 5-6 hours to the coast for like San Diego and all those other teams. So I don't know. I think.
But that's half of that 18-hour trek that you just mentioned earlier.
Exactly. So I just don't see those teams doing that outside of maybe once in the season. because it's also not safe, and they'd have to do it in the warm season, because we saw what happened with Rogue Valley's bus at the end of the season breaking down in the middle of nowhere, Nevada or wherever it was, and having to be rescued by a mining company. So yeah. So they didn't freeze to death on a bus in the middle of nowhere. So it's the travel, and this isn't the East Coast either, where, okay, sorry, but if your bus breaks down on your way from Massachusetts down to 90, I think it is, or whatever, 95, down to Florida, there is no point in that entire drive. You're in the middle of nowhere. Never.
Yeah, there's a difference.
In the West Coast, there are places where you're out there.
Out there in the middle of Nevada with only mining companies surrounding you.
Yeah. So it's, I have been trapped on the side of the road in Wyoming because a storm blows through and I'm in my U-Haul and it's shaking the thing side to side. And you're parked with like hundreds of tractor trailers and none of you can move because the road is closed and the weather's dangerous and you're stuck. Add that to a bus full of hockey players, you know, God. It's, they have to do the travel and the warmth. And this is the Northwest teams heading to, you know, the Northwest division in Southwest Utah, and the South teams heading up to the Northwest. It can only be feasible to do one trip a year and to just make an adventure out of it. Like I said, do a 4-game series, you know, between two teams, or I guess Bremerton, I wasn't including Bremerton in my original thoughts. You know, you kind of include kind of a series where you play the teams all like once, like you got up there for about like a four weekend series and like a 3-weekend series, or however you want to break it up. And then you pull chalks and head back down south. And then you only play the teams in the region. Cause I can see a lot of teams being able to play Henderson quite easily. Cause it's right there. I mean, Henderson and Enoch got to have a couple times this season facing off against each other. Cause they're the closest teams geographically to each other. I think Enoch's closer to Henderson than any other team as well. So I don't know, guys, it's a lot of news happening right now in the USPHL, but I'm glad that the expansion is kind of ending. But with that said, there's still got to be a resolution for what's happening on the West Coast. And I know the league's probably looking into a lot of options that we're not involved in. And I also want to bring that up to people who somehow believe I'm associated officially with the USPHL. We're not. We have no official association at all, and people reach out and want more inside information. I'm like, I don't know anything about the new commissioner. I don't know anything about the old commissioner. I'm not involved with the league. That is literally, the Dan Kaye Show is the league representation, and they do a great job of it, and they're the representation. I'm just out here covering what I like watching, and I lived in the region, so that's why it's interesting to me. And I don't cover like the Southeast because I don't live there, never have, never will.
We're a third party entity, basically.
Yeah. We cover what we want. That's why, I mean, at one point, because I'm up here in British Columbia now, I was going to start covering the BCHL, and at least for you guys on the team here, you do know that I prepped for about a good month prepping for our first kind of BCHL episode, and then I just pulled it. We didn't record it. But I got a really strong feeling for the goaltenders in the BCHL, because if we do extend anything outside of the kind of the NCDC Mountain Division, it's going to be pretty much goalie related, because that's what I am, and that's what the bulk of the hosts, well, I guess half the hosts at this point, are goalies. We got what now? Two broadcasters, three goalies, a coach, and that's it, really, right?
Yeah, I thought it was gonna end with like Anna Knucklehead or something like that.
Well, that might be all of us. I don't think. But I mean, that's really what we are here. So
yeah, I was gonna say before that, you know, no matter what happens with the geography and the decision making for the divisions, at a minimum, not only do we have talking points, but I'm also looking forward to, we're gonna have to do some more jersey rankings next season when we find out what all these new teams look like.
Yeah, well, we have to do that. I think it's a requirement at this point, but I will be extra upset that the Buffalo Stampede will not be in that conversation, because as a Buffalo native, I loved not only that jersey. It would have been a team I was hoping to, you know, eventually somewhat connect with, but now that they're going off to Michigan, at least I got my Buffalo Stampede jersey. It's been sitting in my dad's house since I got it. But I haven't been home to get it. So And I got the specialized Buffalo Wings one, but now I kind of wish I could have gotten my hands on Buffalo. If you're listening, hook me up. Got my hands on one of the regular ones. They were gorgeous. And yeah, that's in terms of aesthetics, that's a hard team for me to lose. And in terms of aesthetics, like Las Vegas shutting down their brand and moving on to Henderson, I've seen the logo. It won't rank high. I hope they consider like, no, you know, I guess,
yeah, it's just
that be the official logo. That's a cool shoulder crest, but please don't make that the logo.
Yeah.
I think it's like,
it's not really interesting at all.
No, it's not. It
feels rushed to me.
Yeah. Yeah. But that gives them an opportunity to kind of come up with something and maybe be like, okay, we need the announcement. We need something from you guys. I'm hoping that's what they got. Like, this is what we needed. And I understand they're kind of going down the Knights route. They're going down the Silver Knights and the Golden Knights route. You know, I guess we'll just what teams come back from LTIR? Which team just recently came back from LTIR? Is it the Colorado team? You know, they're pulling a Mark Stone there. It's like, hey, it's in time for the playoffs. Maybe. I don't know. It's a lot of information being tossed out at once. And I know the league's deep in the sauce on this and we're outsiders looking in, but it is a lot of talking points, boys.
Yeah. And we'll certainly have more of them going forward, I'm sure. What was the topic for today, Chris?
Yeah. So the topic for today, cause this is basically our NCDC weekly episode. And we're going to be giving out our annual awards, and it's unlike the USPH episode where it was like 20 something awards. This is one division, so there's 8 awards, and we're going to keep the players. We're not going to give out organizational awards or coaches awards or fans awards, which I guess we can talk about that stuff, but it's not going to be an official award. I will say that, I mean, I want opinions on that too, because from watching it all year before we break into it, in terms of like fan base, it was really hard for me to pick the best fan base because there was a lot of strong fan bases there and there's some growing ones. It's hard to not give it to like a Pueblo / Idaho because both teams pack the house all the time. And yeah, you can say, well, you know, Idaho's fan base is what the arena holds 4 to 5 times as many as Pueblo's does. But I feel like if Pueblo had a 4,000 seat arena, it would fill it. It just seems to be a strong hockey market down there, but play-by-play, most play-by-play this year were great. I think we talked about it on the most recent podcast. And Idaho and Rock Springs did really good with that. And Utah is honestly, I will say drastically improved on the bias factor over the last couple of years. It used to be horrifically evident, and now it's really damn good. It comes out now and then, but as a home broadcaster, it kind of has to. I don't know how else to put it. It's not the worst thing in the world, but when you can watch most of the games and you don't hear the bias, that's great. And like I said, Utah has gotten better every single year I've listened to them. And I wish I remembered people's names. I think one of their names is Mitch. You know, they do great. They call a great game and they're fun to listen to. So again, with Ogden's broadcaster, he's come a long way in 2 years in terms of calling baseball to hockey. But there's super strong bias still there. And again, is the individual reason as to why I've been banned from watching hockey games in my own apartment because of the goals. When Ogden scores, I am kicked out. And the unfortunate part for me that is then I have to put it in my, if I'm allowed to stay in the apartment at that point, I have to put headphones on and then I live in fear of a goal, literally live in fear of a goal. It's calibrate. But I mean, he calls a great game, beyond the goal calls. He calls a great game and Provo has been pretty solid now for several years. So it's, did I miss any team there? I don't think I missed a team. I said, I'd already talked about Pueblo. Pueblo's done pretty good. They still have a little bit of bias in them, but,
you talk about Rock Springs? I mean, they're new and very vastly improved as the season went along.
No, they have, and they've gotten great. And I'm all down for the, yeah, it's Rock Springs. I'm thinking Casper, but I definitely think it's Rock Springs that does the soda can races. The Pepsi versus Mountain Dew versus Diet Pepsi. and basically the broadcaster gets it wrong each time. He calls it, and that person almost always loses. And I can't say my stats are any better. But you have a 1 in 3 chance and you're almost always wrong. It kind of hurts. But sure. I mean, he's been great to listen to, and they've gotten drastically better since the beginning of the season. And actually, before we give out the awards, gents, last year we were announcing signings all year with the USPHL West, which we're not doing all year this year in the USPHL West, but I will continue to do with the NCDC Mountain Division. I guess maybe we'll save that for next week. So for those five or six players from Rock Springs and 2 players from Pueblo that have kind of been tendered or committed, we'll talk about you on next week's episode. So definitely listen to that. We want to talk about those tenderings and those signings and players coming back, and really excited for the draft. I still don't know when the draft is, but I'm really excited for that. But yeah, this is the episode where we talk about we're giving those 8 awards away for the players of the year. We have an unsung player of the year, the age out players, and then the players of the year, including an MVP. So 8 awards, gents, you want to start?
Absolutely. We're going to start off by unsung player of the year. Chris, want to take that one?
Yeah, let's start with the unsung player of the year. So again, the unsung player of the year, as much as you might heard on the previous episode where that was the Long Beach Shredders goaltenders with the USPHL, it's the players that don't really get a ton of recognition throughout the year, but were definitely noticeable all year and did their job without, again, a lot of recognition. And so this year, this is going to be the 04 from the Rock Springs Grizzlies out of Nanaimo, British Columbia. Yes, right off the island I'm on, Sam Davidson. He played 50 games for Rock Springs this year, and what was kind of a rough season, let's just say it. They didn't have the greatest season as kind of the quick announcement expansion team out in the West. They had a rough year to start with. They finished the year real strong. He's, again, played 50 games with them. He was just awesome back there on the blue line to make sure that the other teams that were really scouted for well over a year just kind of took it to Rock Springs for the beginning of the year. And he stood back there and thwarted a lot of threats throughout the entire year, and it wasn't unnoticed. I think he had a really heated tout in the final game of the year with Pueblo. Was noticeable all year long, and think he did make it onto at least one of our episodes this year, but couldn't go without making him the unsung hero of the year. He really had a hell of a season for kind of a rough start expansion team.
Congratulations to a fellow Sam, and, you know, always tough to play like on the blue line when your team starts out not the greatest, but I'd imagine that, you know, it felt good to finish strong for Rock Springs. Moving on to the age out players of the year, we're going to start with the forwards. Who is the age out forward of the year, Chris?
Yeah, so this was tough. Like, as many of you may have known, it got some comments on the USPHL episode. People weren't thrilled with some of our choices, but again, it's our choices. You want to make your own, start your own podcast. And it was really hard because there was in total, I mean, there's only 8 awards and there were 67 players I considered. So only 8 are selected. And when you think about the amount of players who came through the NCDC West this year, and you think about the average roster size, you're talking, you know, there's well over 100 players in the NCDC West. And if you talk about the players that rotated through this year, you're talking almost about maybe not 200, but pretty high to the 200 amount of players that actually ended up going through the NCDC West this year, as it was just the division finding its way. To take it down to 8 was tough. And obviously Sam Davidson getting the unsung hero was well-earned. And when it came to an age out forward, this forward's actually been in the Mountain Division back to its Tier 3 days, and that's going to be the 03 from Desjardins, Quebec, from the Pueblo Bulls, Thomas Saucy. He's got the hockey IQ. He provides great feeds. He's got excellent reads. He has been a staple with Pueblo for years now, and it is too bad we won't be able to see him back next year as he is aging out, but it was a well-earned award in terms of age out. He really stood out there for Pueblo's offense. And again, and not just a scoring category, but just in the, especially his hockey IQ, he did what you wanted him to do on the ice. And it's a well-earned award for Thomas Housie.
Absolutely fabulous player. I couldn't say anything more than you've actually encompassed. He's burned my favorite NCDC team, the Ogden Mustangs, plenty of times. And I guess that's the best comment I can make is if you burn my favorite team, I'm going to acknowledge that. But we're going to move on to the age-out defender of the year. Chris, take it away.
Yeah, so the age-out defender of the year actually split time between two NCDC teams. He's the 0-3 from Graz, Austria. He started the season with the Idaho Falls Bud Kings and went on to the Utah Outliers. Should be no shocker here, Mateo Mitrovic. What a player. Again, another player that's kind of been in the NCDC West back to its Tier 3 days, even last season. And he has just had a season where I was kind of shocked, truthfully, to see him traded from Idaho Falls to Utah. I think Utah probably went after that trade pretty heavily. I don't know why else Idaho Falls would trade him, but I mean, what an acquisition by Utah, because he was, in terms of the blue line, he does everything right. It's going to be too bad that we won't be able to see him again play next season. When you just talk about how he keeps players to the outside, just his watching these this most recent playoff series, he can quarterback a power play. He is so smart on how to keep the puck in the zone because he just doesn't keep the puck in the zone. He does it in, again, the hockey IQ sense. When he's chipping that puck back in, especially if it's just that puck where the defensive team, especially on a penalty kill, where the puck's trying to be cleared and he just doesn't stop the puck in and launch it back in, he's already got his target set. He's just such a smart player back there on the blue line that I know he's going to be a tough piece for both Idaho Falls and Utah to replace.
Absolutely. And, you know, I don't know if he's what his next step is going to be, but I hope that he sticks around in the States and gets signed by some college to keep playing here. But, or, you know, if he's going to go play professional, maybe back in his homeland. But either way, congratulations to him. It was a lot of fun for me to have him in my fantasy team, just saying. But now we're going to move on to the greatest position in all of sports, the age-out goalie of the year.
I'm glad you recognize that it's the greatest position in all sports.
Listen, you were going to say it if I didn't. So I was just like, you know what? I'll own it this time.
I appreciate that. Yeah, I mean, and talk about splitting time. This goalie actually started outside the Western Division this year. He started with the South Shore Kings and ended up in Rock Springs, and then eventually in Idaho. Yes, he's the 0-3 out of Phoenix, Arizona, Tucker Inabine. What a season he had. Again, I didn't really watch his action at all in South Shore, but when it came to when he got acquired by Rock Springs, and again, his whole season was considered, so his time in South Shore was also considered in this award, because even though he did finish, he played the bulk of his season in the Western US or Western NCDC. So he just had a season, man. Like, he came in there and he kept the Rock Springs Grizzlies in so many more games than they deserved to be in at that time. He had guys back there again with defenders like Sam Davidson back there with him to go back there and be on a team that just was struggling and finding their way. And eventually, I think a big piece of that, again, guys like Davidson and Kerman and stuff back on the blue line, was you had him keeping the team in so many more games than they deserved to be in. And you could see the frustration growing. So to have him picked up by, honestly, Idaho was kind of struggling in net a bit. They had the opportunity to pick him up and they did. And wow. I mean, he really got the shine in that Idaho Falls net in front of that crowd. That had to be an amazing way to end your junior career, is in front of that crowd. I mean, he stood out all season long, again, from the moment he stepped into the Rock Springs outside of South Shore. And it's a well-earned award for Tucker.
Absolutely. You know, great goaltender. So sad to see him go. He was just a great player this year when he came out West. Moving on, forward of the year. Go ahead and take that away, Chris.
Yeah, so the forward of the year, and again, only one award, and this was tough. And there were so many players, and I'll briefly mention just a few names that were just in strong consideration for this award, because it was just a hard award to just pick a player. But I think I look back at my forwards listing, and I had 26 forwards I had in consideration for this award. And some of the leading names in that, I mean, they shouldn't shock you. You had guys like Willie Johnson, Boyatzis, Pliason, Pitters, Konradson, Kelfgard, Osborne, Struck, Simcoe. I'm looking around here. Hayes, Ames, Beach, William Chernyak, Garrett Yost. But I only had to pick one. And so this year's Ford of the Year for the Mountain Division is going to be the 04 Russian-American out of Moscow, Russia, from the Utah Outliers, Makar Klotchkov. You want to talk about a difference maker. Klotchkov's a difference maker. Yes, he can put up the points. It's important for a forward to put up the points, but we're not a fully stats-based podcast in terms of awards, and we never have been because, you know, we watch a bulk of the games. Like I said, this year I was only able to watch the third period of the games for the initial part of the season, relocating from Copenhagen to Vancouver Island. But starting in late January, I was tuned into every game full on. And Klotchkov's a playmaker, man. He's a reason that – oh, David Ukin. Sorry, I was going to mention David Ukin too, because David Ukin left the – if I didn't mention him already, left the Utah Outliers for the Knoll. And he was a standout all year too. But Klotchkov was able to make such impactful plays for the Utah Outliers all season long and really be there at moments that the team needed that spark. And Klotchkov provided it. So – yeah, our forward of the year for the Pigeon Hockey Podcast is Makar Klotchkov.
Congratulations to him. There's so many, like you said, in the preamble, there's so many options that you could have gone with. And I imagine that it was very difficult to pick just one. So congratulations to everybody mentioned. But we're going to go to the blue line now. Who is the defender of the year for the NCDC Mountain Division?
Yeah, same thing. I had 24 defenders in consideration for my defender of the year. When you think about the stats versus defensemen and forwards, that's actually more defenders percentage-wise were considered than forwards. And I just feel like the defense this year, the NCDC Mountain Division stepping up out of the USPHL Tier 3 level, the biggest place it was noticeable was in defense. Because the defense were so much better this season than the years past watching these teams, and certain defense just stood out. I mean, Ogden just put a hell of a product on the ice in terms of defense. Pueblo put a hell of a product on the ice in terms of defense. I can say for all six teams, this defensive core, this defensive core, that the defense this year were to stand out, kind of the highlight of the NCDC Mountain Division, which isn't the sexiest thing for hockey. You know, people like goals. But the quality of the defensemen this year in the NCDC Mountain Division made this an extra hard award to pick. And again, some of the names in consideration, you had guys like Lafferty joined Ogden late. You can just basically throw all Ogden's defense on there. But you get Mustin, Heinemann, Hendrickson,
Petrovich,
Bartfield, Yadarina. You had DJ McLeish, Davidson, Wilson Clare, Brady Jones, Jake Howard, Jack Bartfield. I think I've already mentioned him. Jackson Lucia, Will Hoffer, Teddy Hember. I mean, those are some of the names that were in consideration for this. But only one defenseman can win the award. And Sam, you might be excited. He's from Wheaton, Illinois. The 04 from the Pueblo Bulls, Nate Farrell. I think back on the blue line, he was probably one of the hardest defenders to get past this season. You knew if you were facing Pueblo, if you were going to get to the goal, you were going to have to get past Nate Farrell and truthfully that whole Pueblo defense. But Nate Farrell for me was the kind of the standout this year. So congratulations, Nate Farrell, the Pigeon Hockey Podcast Defender of the Year.
Congratulations. What a great defender. Pueblo's got a great defender for years to come. If he comes back, hopefully he does.
For the Pueblo fans, he does come back because again, I mean, it's smart hockey. That's what I like out of these players. As I mentioned with Klotchkov, is with Farrell, it's just smart hockey plays. He isn't just there's no panic in his game. He doesn't just get the puck out of the zone. The second that puck's even close to his stick, he's already mapping out where it's going to go. And that's an incredible skill to have as a defender. So, yeah, really awesome. Oh, absolutely. Awesome year.
I mean, And all I'm saying is he's always welcome in Ogden. I'm sure
you are trying to poach Pueblo
players. I'm sure a locker spot would be open. Hey man, even if it's not for the Mustangs, man, I also work for Weber State. but moving on, probably the most important position on this list, goalie of the year.
Yes, and again, the goalies stepped up this year. I mean, you want to talk about just another area where I was just so impressed with the quality of goaltender that came into the NCDC. The backups this year in the NCDC were of higher quality than you would see on the tier three starting rosters. So it was really, again, a hard position to pick, but there's only six teams. So it wasn't like I had like a list of 20 something goalies. Every goalie basically in the NCDC this year in the Mountain Division really could have been up for consideration. I don't think there was a goalie that really had a bad season. Even the guys that just came in for a game or two, because you had, who was it with Utah? It was came out of Iowa, Connor Graham, I think. He was incredible for his couple games or whatever it was in Utah. And you had a lot of guys to consider here. You had, obviously, Inabine, Rondina. Rondina had a great season. Volsky, Henry, Altman, and Therion, right? He was playing on that struggling Rock Springs team and was able to come back there. Guys like Sam Straff and Ryan Mitchell didn't get a lot of starts, but when they did, they made him count. Just a lot of great goalies back there. But the goal of the year didn't actually get to finish his season in the NCDC West, but it was pretty hard to deny he was not the – he was the best goalie probably the NCDC Mountain Division had seen yet. And that's going to be the 06 out of Haddonfield, New Jersey, Vladislav Brzgalov. Cool, calm, and collected. His reactions, his adjustments, his legwork, his reads, everything. There's a reason he's on the NHL Central Scouting List. There's a reason he got promoted out of the NCDC in February, towards the end of the season, out of Ogden and up to the BCHL. And I think he's been killing it up here on the island as well with the Alberni Valley Bulldogs. It's hard to deny that the player that's on the NHL Central Scouting List wasn't like the goalie of the year. I mean, what a season Vladislav Brzgalov had. I definitely think he made a fan out of all of us watching. To start the season, when I saw that he had been signed, obviously the last name, I was like, oh, you know, that's going to be Ilya's son. And yeah, it was Ilya's son. But I'm like, okay, he's on the roster, but he's young. He's not going to get the starts. Yeah, you know, because I think they had like Cameron Hollins and who else was on the there was two big guys that were on the roster in the beginning of the year. Because it wasn't Volsky. Volsky was with Pueblo.
Let me pull it up real quick.
Was it Milan?
I think it was Milan.
And
you had all the listings from on that Google Excel sheet that
I did. It was Hollins, and I thought Milan, but maybe Milan was on Idaho. Anyway, well, we can move on from that. Brzgalov stood out, being the youngest goalie on the team. I wasn't expecting to see him get a lot of starts, but when he started getting starts, I saw why he was getting starts. He's definitely his father's son. Like I said, everything about his game was incredible. And it was hard to deny that he was the best goalie in the NCDC Mountain Division this year, and potentially the NCDC, because, you know, he's gotten promoted, and I'm excited to see, hopefully, potentially, him get drafted to an NHL squad this year. So, yeah, our Pigeonhole Hockey Podcast goalie of the year, Vladislav Brzgalov.
Not surprising. I mean, you know, you mentioned this before, but it's all based off of, you know, the cumulative point total that you've been giving out to these month-by-month awards. And it's no surprise to see Brzgalov was dominating that award for the first – pretty much up until he moved on to the BCHL. So I'm not really shocked by that one is what I'm saying, I guess. But in the meantime, certainly last and not least – the MVP or player of the year for the NCDC Mountain Division.
Yeah. So our player of the year, at least for the USPHL West, it was players heard, it was a forward this year, being Mario Paganini. In the NCDC Mountain Division, I couldn't deny it being a goalie, because based off the point totals for the season, there was one player that definitely proved to be the most valuable player for their team through the season, and much to Sam's delight, was one of his netminders, and that's going to be the 04 out of Cedarburg, Wisconsin, Michael Polston from the Provo Predators. He was undeniably, potentially, Idaho Falls' biggest mistake this year. because they had a fairly thick roster, apparently, of goalies, and, they didn't really have a spot for him when the starting role came around. And he, as Coach Nick Dreyer had talked about on our podcast previously, he kind of fell in the Provo's lap. And what a player to have fallen to your lap, because come season's end, we're naming him the MVP for the NCDC Mountain Division, the player of the year. I mean, he was by far, when you look at all the teams and what their players contributed to their organizations, Michael Polston was the player of the year. The benefit to that for Provo is Provo had some damn good goaltending this year, because as we've had Ryan Henry on the episode, and I think with almost any other team, Ryan Henry is probably a starter and played a hell of a series of games this year, because I think he ended up with about a dozen-ish games or more. But Polston, I think the second he was released by Idaho Falls, probably had a fire lit under his ass to prove them wrong. And wow. And that's the other thing, is Idaho Falls had some really good goalies in that too. Preston Carter, Pechenin. Ooh, they had
in the beginning.
Was Millant Idaho Falls? I'm thinking now Millant was Idaho Falls and not Ogden. So they had some great goalies throughout the year, but they were just trying to find their rhythm and their setup. And they had them. And Provo ended up with him. And honestly, congratulations, Michael Polston, because, he stood out all year. He was undeniably the – I just can't help it that he was walked at the beginning of the season, out of Idaho Falls. I'm trying to think of a story in sports where that's kind of – I mean, if you look at, honestly, like a Baker Mayfield, right? Baker Mayfield, nobody – was picking him up after he left Cleveland, and he ended up like on a practice squad for Carolina, like pushing off their offensive lineman or something. And here he ends up in Tampa Bay on a cheap contract, cause they couldn't afford to pay their quarterback anything that season. And look at him now, man, look at Baker Mayfield now. And I feel like that's kind of Polston's story this year.
It's a good comparison. I like it.
Absolutely.
I like my sports comparisons. but a well-earned award. It was a fun season of the first NCDC Mountain Division series, and I'm really excited for what's coming next. Like I said, there's already signings happening. Rock Springs and Pueblo have already signed series of players. Utah was just eliminated by Ogden in the Mountain Division Championship, and Ogden's heading off to South Shore or Foxboro this weekend to face off against the South Shore Kings. So good luck to the Ogden Mustangs, and it's going to be an exciting series. I'm fully tuned in for at least Friday and Saturday's game, and then earlier today my wife committed me to something on Sunday morning. So guys, please don't pull into game three. Then I'm going to be off all social media until I can come home and watch the game. But
I believe in you.
I do too, but I'm also, I just sometimes open my phone for fun, and I have to consciously, Ogden, just take them out too.
Just sorry, South Shore.
I'm devoted to my Western teams, and what's that, Sam?
Just turn off your notifications. Make it easier on yourself.
That's true, but then I also have to be careful when I open up like Flow Hockey, because sometimes it tries to give you all the information at once, and I kind of do this like blurry eyed, like find the button response so I don't see anything, and there's no giveaway.
Well, then don't open up Flow Hockey. It's just that simple.
when I want to watch a game, I have to open up Flow Hockey. Because if I go into the NCDC's website, in order to get to the game, I'm going to have to see the score. So I just might make that
way. We all know Chris is making this harder on himself, folks. That's all I'm trying to say here.
Yeah. But I'm going to be honestly with Ogden being the team that got me into junior hockey. I can't not be like full throttle screaming at the TV for these series of games. So I'm hoping for a Saturday night dancing around the shared space national championship. So unfortunately, my Ogden Mustangs jersey is also not with me. My Ogden Mustangs jersey is in all places right now, England.
Oh,
so I have jerseys in different. Don't get me started on why different jerseys are in different places right now. It's a long story. But
well, that's a curiosity one. But I do think that if possible, I think it would be required by your wife to send us a video of you dancing if they win. Put that in the group chat. No, we got to see. We got to see this, Chris.
I mean, in order for me to dance, I'm gonna have to be many, many, many beverages down. I don't know if okay. I can dance at that point, but I'm relaxed enough to.
That's why we want to see it, of course.
Naturally, but yeah, it's been a fun season of NCDC Mountain Division Hockey. Again, we're gonna keep the weekly episodes going, people. We're going to try to make the announcements of what's happening, kind of talk about the individual players as they start to get signed. And hopefully those episodes will be short, as promised. The weekly episodes have not been short so far, but I'm assuming now that the season after the national championship kind of chatter, which is hopefully just nothing but talking about how Ogden scared the East Coast. That's going to be the goal. Because, I mean, you said it on our last podcast, Justin. We want the teams coming out of the West to be the boogeyman.
Oh, exactly. I'll say it again. I want the East to fear anytime they have a West Coast team on that calendar. I want that thick red Sharpie, like circled. We need to watch out for this game.
Yeah. And Ogden has a chance to be the team that finally does it. Cause as we talked on the last podcast, no team out of the West has yet been able to instill that fear in the East, because to do that, you have to win. So we're rooting for Ogden to instill the fear in the East and to bring home that Dineen Cup. And that will be a hell of a good time. So go for it, Ogden. Shut him down. Volsky's playing at another level right now. He didn't win any of the eight awards, but wow, he has come on with the departure of Brzgalov. And again, one of those goalies that, I mean, again, Pueblo has great goalies in that with Altman and Mitchell. And I tell you, they let Volsky walk to Ogden, and Ogden's relieved for that right now. So because Volsky is playing at an outstanding level right now. And he needs to do that, because that's going to be, again, I don't know too much about South Shore, but what I do know is they have solid net mining and a really well-rounded team. But if South Shore is going to have any success against Ogden, what I do know is they have to get through Ogden's defense. Utah wasn't able to do it. Since Ogden has launched themselves into the playoffs, they haven't stepped off the throttle. They have been a well-oiled machine. In fact, so good to where their defensemen are winning games for the opposing team, because that's the only way you're going to beat Ogden, is they're going to score on themselves, because that's the only way Ogden, the only playoff game Ogden has lost this year, is they scored on themselves. So I'm excited for this series, and I'm excited because it seems like they're a quality organization out there, the South Shore Kings. I've watched some interviews, I've seen some videos, and really excited for this the clash between two Titans right here. But any final comments before we wrap the ep?
I've got none. Congratulations to all the players that won one of these eight awards. Fabulous players. Again, so many players to choose from. Yeah, only eight of them got an award.
Yeah, so don't reach out to me with hate.
Yeah, exactly. You know, Chris has a hard job here, folks. He's the main award giver. But yeah, once again, congratulations to everybody. Congratulations to Polston on Player of the Year. And congratulations to everybody on a great year. And can't wait to see whatever, for all the age outs, can't wait to see where you guys end up next. And keep us posted on where you end up next.
Yeah, because we want to know where you guys end up. And yeah, if you didn't win an award, doesn't mean you weren't considered. If you weren't even one of the names brought up in this podcast, it doesn't mean you weren't considered. We had 67 players in consideration for these awards. So, and you know, also, next year, I'm fully anticipating Justin and Sam to be able to contribute their votes, and it won't be a one-man show. Because I know that Justin basically watches all the games as well. And Sam will be able to watch a bulk of the action. And so I think the three of us combined will be able to do a lot better. It won't be a one-man show, so there'll be a little bit less, I suppose, bias in it. I don't think my picks are biased as much as they are just what I notice in the quality of play from a player when they're on the ice. So
it's not biased. No, it's no. It's also you committing me to watching some games. No, I'm kidding. But
we've talked about it, Sam.
I like the sound of that. I like the sound of a three-man crew, a three-man awards crew to figure out all the awards for next year.
Yeah. And honestly, I mean, if Steve and Sebastian, Sebastian and Steve won't have time, let's be honest. With Heath being in school and with Seabass basically still being a full-time coach and young father and full-time job on top of that, he won't be able to commit that time. Steve, you know, two young kids, a lot of soccer commitments and a lot of sport commitments and a full-time job where I don't think he literally has a day off.
Yeah. Yeah, and then three of us have the most time is what you're saying.
Yeah. I've obviously had the most time. That's going to be changing this year, which is why I can't commit to the USPHL West next year. Only this one division is because I just won't have the time. I mean, we'll probably still give out some goalie awards because I don't have to commit to that. I can just watch like stats and try to compare stats with games played versus shots allowed and stuff and give my best guess at the goalie awards in the month if that ends up becoming a thing. So look out for that. But that doesn't mean I've been able to fully watch those goalies to be able to pick that. So if you're like, I'm better than this guy, you might be. But statistically, and again, I'm not doing goals against average. For the love of God, please don't reach out to me about how it's not a fair stat. I know I'm a goalie. I'm looking at save percentage, shots faced, and then there's a lot of little weird minimum requirements me and the team have discussed. So it's pretty close to accurate without watching. But we want to thank all of you listeners for tuning in. Make sure to follow us on social media to stay up to date, but don't reach out with hate. This was the Pigeon Hockey Podcast with Chris, Sam, and Justin.
Thank you all so much for having me.
Have a great day, hockey fans.
And remember, listeners, always clear your crease.